Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Health, Finance, and Policy Committee. Today is February 14, 2022. And we have a very full agenda today. We will start by taking the roll. Ms. Niedernhofer.
Green.
Present.
Hewitt.
Present.
Schumacher.
Schumacher present.
Ackland.
Ackland present.
Backer.
Backer present.
Bonner.
Present.
Bierman.
Present.
Bolden.
Present.
Damuth.
Present.
Freiberg.
Freiberg present.
Grünhagen.
Present.
Keel.
Present.
Morrison.
Morrison present.
Munson.
Munson present.
Pryor.
Present.
Quam.
Present.
Ryer.
Present.
Schultz.
Present.
Mogamat.
Present.
Everyone is here. A quorum is present.
All right, a quorum is present. Thank you, Ms. Niedernhofer. The next order of business is approval of the minutes of the last meeting, which is February 9th. Representative Hewitt, would you do me the favor of moving the minutes again?
Madam Chair, I would. I'd like to move the minutes of February 9th.
Thank you. Is there any discussion to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes of February 9th, 2022, please say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. Thank you very much for that, members. Representative Grünhagen, your hand is up. Did you have a question before we begin here?
No, I'm sorry. I'll put it down.
Thank you. Okay. So as usual, members, we ask you to keep your feeds muted and to raise your hand if you would like to speak. And so that is our procedure today. And I would just note, too, as we're getting back into as things pick up here in our legislative session, there will be times when members will have to be in other committees. One member already notified me today that he will be presenting a bill in another committee, and that is to be expected, members. And if that happens, we will just simply mark you excused from that vote. I don't really think, you know, we all understand that that does happen sometimes, and we don't all have control over it. So it is, thank you to the member who notified us. Just, let us know if that's the case and we'll take care of it. And also last time we had a problem where a member had difficulty registering his vote. And I do apologize for that, knowing that sometimes members have difficulty with connection. It would have been better if I had just waited we'll try to do that. If you're just not there, we'll circle around because we do know that sometimes members lose connections, and we want to make sure that everyone who intends to vote is able to vote. So just a little housekeeping there. Okay, so the first bill on the calendar on our agenda for today, I should say, is House File 11, which is Representative Schultz. Representative Schultz, would you care to move House File 11 to bring it before the committee?
I would like to move House File 11, and then, if appropriate, move the amendment.
Okay, so Representative Schultz moves that House File 11, the second engrossment, be re-referred to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. And then Representative Schultz moves adoption of her DE6 author's amendment. So Representative Schultz, would you like to adopt that first, and then we'll explain the bill as amended? So
yeah, I'd like to move and adopt the DE6.
All right. So with that, members, all in favor of adoption of the DE6 amendment, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Okay, Representative Schultz, please explain your bill as amended.
So members, last year we heard House File 11, which is was the Minnesota Care Buy-In, but we passed pieces of that bill. So I'm bringing a DE amendment here to reintroduce a new version of the Minnesota Care Buy-In plan. And members, I think most of you already know that this buy-in would allow individuals who make more than 200% of the federal poverty level, which is about $25,000 for one person, to buy into a really successful program that Minnesota has had since 1992 that was brought forward as a bipartisan bill, the Minnesota Care Program. And what this bill does is allow individuals who are uninsured, may have employer coverage that they cannot afford, may not have employer coverage, allows farmers and entrepreneurs, older individuals who retire and are not yet eligible for Medicare to buy into this really successful product. Most Minnesotans, over 90%, believe that everybody should have access to high quality, affordable health coverage. And most Minnesotans, according to a recent NPR survey, over 70% support something like a public option, and even 63% of Republicans support this. Only 10% are opposed and 20% are undecided. So there's a large majority of Minnesotans who want us to reform healthcare so it is more affordable. Even people who are buying on the individual insurance market, they're paying very high deductibles, upwards of $6,000 to $10,000. Premiums can be as high as $9,000 to $10,000 for one person. And by 2027, family premiums could be as high as $35,000. So it's really eating up people's income and they can't afford other things. And so we're really close in Minnesota to covering everyone. We have 4.6% of our population are uninsured. And this would really help Minnesota get everybody covered. So the bill allows people to buy into the Minnesota Care product. It creates, it tasks the agency with determining what those premiums would be, and it would be based on income. It also does a few other unique things. It provides, this would not be implemented until 2025 to get our information technology systems up. And a bridge would be to allow, would provide subsidies for people who buy individual coverage, one of the metal plans, which extends the ARPA premium subsidies that were created under President Biden and the Democrats at the federal level. Those are set to expire at the end of this year. So it would extend those premium subsidies to continue offering affordable coverage. It would also provide some cost sharing reduction for those families who buy a gold plan, which is a lower deductible product that has less cost sharing. And it also provides a benefit, tax credit benefit, to small businesses, those with 50 or fewer employees, to get a tax credit if they purchase health insurance coverage for their employees. And it requires the DHS and the commissioner to investigate creating a public option for small businesses. But in the meantime, it provides this tax credit subsidy. So it does a lot of good things for people of Minnesota. The family glitch that we fixed last year extended Minnesota Care product to people who were buying family coverage through their employer, but were paying more than 9.8% of their income. So this is just the next step of allowing more people to buy into this really successful program we've had since 1992.
Okay, thank you, Representative Schultz. So we have quite a few testifiers. We have several in favor and several who are opposed. And so the intention would be to take all of that testimony and before we go to amendments or member discussion. So Representative Gernhagen, your hand is up. Did you have something before we get to the testifiers?
No, go ahead with the testifiers. Okay.
All right. Thank you. So very good. So the first testifier I have on my list is Lauren Gaffney. Lauren Gaffney, are you here? Hello. And welcome. And if you would just, so our procedure for all the testifiers, when you're called, just state your name and any affiliation you have, and then go ahead with your testimony. And please try to keep it to 2 minutes because we are on a pretty short time frame here. Thank you. Welcome, sure. Ms. Gaffney.
Thank you so much, Chair Liebling and members of the committee. My name is Lauren Gaffney, and I am the general manager of Mastel's Health Foods in St. Paul. I've managed the store for about a decade, and since the owner retired, we've been open since 1968, and we're the oldest health food store in the Twin Cities. Healthcare access and affordability has always been an issue with us as a small business. We have 3 full-time employees and about 11 part-time employees. Some of us spend over $500 a month on our healthcare coverage. Some of us go without because we just can't afford it at all. As a small business that's been a staple of the community for 5 decades, we understand the importance of creating a supportive environment for our employees, like we do with our community members. And we also understand health. We understand taking care of your health and what happens when you can't. Because of the nature of our business, people come here sometimes because they don't have healthcare coverage themselves. And we would really love to say, go to your doctor and then come back and we'll complement what your doctor says, because we're not doctors. But a lot of our customers really just, they have no other option. Navigating the different options as an employer for healthcare coverage is really, really difficult. Our options are limited, good plans cost too much, and more affordable plans are, you know, they just, you don't get as good of benefits. And then the smaller your business, the more expensive the plan becomes. Last year in December, I was finally able to get us a QCERA program with the help of a broker and a management company that's handling the reimbursements. And so that we get a little, for the 3 full-time equivalents, we get a little bit of a stipend, and it's made a huge, huge difference for those of us. The small business tax credit in the bill would allow us to keep that QCERA program, even expand it maybe to the other part-time employees. The Minnesota Care buy-in would be huge, giving us another option to ensure our employees get that really good coverage. So I'm asking for your support in the bill. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Good keeping to the time limit, too. Really appreciate that.
Sure.
Our next testifier is Emilio Gonzalez. Welcome to the committee.
This way?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Just state your name and go ahead and give us your testimony. 2 minutes, please.
Hi, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Emilio Gonzalez. I am a COVID-19 survivor. I got the virus in November 2020, and I am currently dealing with the long hauling consequences and this daily virus. Before I getting sick, I was an essential worker for 3 years. Through all this time, I have been reminded and documented, and I have been waiting to hear about my immigration petition since 2001. The work I can do with my hands was the only protection of my means to sustain myself and my family. I have often had 2 or 3 jobs in the areas of construction or manufacturing or food production. Through all these years, I worked with the priorities that I could provide my family. Like many of my undocumented peers, I held my role on the production plant so that those that could stay at work from home did so. However, doing this almost cost my life. I got sick and waited too long to go to the hospital due to fear of the costs that such deadly virus could bring upon my family. The truth is that waiting too long is often more costly. My symptoms got worse, and I had to stay hospitalized for months. Over a year later, I continue having treatment and surgeries, including in my removal of my kidney last December. All this without access to a health insurance. There are dozens of people like me, people who continue working while dying with the long-term sequence. People can't work because of the abiding consequences this virus has threw up us. There are all lessons learned in the pandemic. We need caring system that strive to include everyone to make Minnesota the best place for all of us to live, try. Undocumented people are also part of that. Please support access to affordable health care. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez, and we wish you all the best in your recovery from COVID.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Jacote DeVries.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is Jennifer Jacote DeVries. I'm a fundraising consultant in the Brainerd area. My husband is a potter. We are both self-employed, and we absolutely need comprehensive, affordable health insurance. For us, this is non-negotiable. I have a genetic kidney disease. After years of decline, when I was 41, my kidneys failed. In August 2020, I was lucky to receive a kidney transplant. Just weeks before this surgery, doctors identified two other issues, both of which need constant monitoring with MRIs and echocardiograms, neither of which are inexpensive. Thankfully, because of public insurance programs, we can afford the care I need right now. Through years of kidney failure, I was able to keep living and working thanks to Minnesota Care. An organ transplantation triggers a short-term qualification for Medicare, making sure that people can get the care they need post-transplant. So for a few years now, I have good coverage at a reasonable price because, like Minnesota Care, my Medicare plans require minimal out-of-pocket costs. That's what we and so many other families need, affordable insurance without massive out-of-pocket costs. And we need this without worrying we could make too much and lose the insurance we rely on to take care of our families. A Minnesota Care buy-in is this program. Expanding it will help thousands of business owners, workers, and families all over the state. And the temporary subsidies will smooth out that cliff for families like mine until that buy-in is available. I've been lucky, but every year we worry about earning just enough to lose Minnesota Care, but not enough to truly afford the best private coverage we really need. A gold plan on the Minnesota market could increase our healthcare costs substantially, all because we crossed that income threshold by any amount. People need the great coverage of Minnesota Care. This is a program that we should all be proud of. Like Representative Schultz said, passed with bipartisan support initially. This buy-in is the affordable next step we need if we are lucky enough to cross that income threshold because our businesses have succeeded. So I think you're here because you want the best for the people you represent. And I think this Minnesota Care expansion is that opportunity to prove that. Thanks for hearing me out.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next, we have Cindy Vanderpoel. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Cindy Vanderpoel. I am a farmer in Southwest Minnesota by Kirkcaldwell, Minnesota. I am here also as a member of Minnesota Farmers Union. Our family owns and operates Pastures of Plenty, and we direct market all the meat that we sell to consumers or to co-op stores in the metro area. We strongly support the expanding of the Minnesota Care to include public options. It would make a real difference for our family, our business, and our community. As farmers, without access to affordable coverage because of our farmland assets, we are always waiting for that shoe to drop. Since I testified last year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer on April 8th. I had surgery on May 24th. I went through 33 rounds of radiation in 2021. Thankfully, we had Minnesota Care Insurance. If it wasn't for that, I'm not sure what we would have done. As the days went by, we had $97,000 in medical bills. Of that, Minnesota Care covered most of it. We still had to pay in $4,500 ourselves. Still this year, if we make too much money, we could lose that coverage. I still need one more surgery to have my ovaries removed to reduce the estrogen in my body so that breast cancer does not reoccur. I want to speak on, growing up as a child, my parents owned their own flower shop. We lived in a small community and we did not have health insurance then either. I feel that it's very important for Minnesota Care to have the buy-in option. It's one less thing for family farms and small businesses to worry about on a daily basis. We're not the only farmers that would benefit from the public option. We have a lot of family, friends, and neighbors and our community that could benefit from the buy-in program. That is why at Minnesota Farmers Union, we voted to make the public program an important part of our priorities this year. Lack of affordable health care options makes it hard for family farms and communities in rural Minnesota. So please think about everybody that is there for you to provide you with your daily food. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Vanderpoel. And as I said to Mr. Gonzalez, we wish you all the best with your treatment and continued treatment. Next up is Joel Euland.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joel Euland. I am the Associate Vice President for Public Affairs at UCARE. UCARE is a health plan serving more than 630,000 members in Minnesota. I am also here today on behalf of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans, the Association of Minnesota's nonprofit health plans, including UCARE, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Health Partners, Medica, and Sanford Health of Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to testify about House File 11. I want to start by thanking Representative Schultz for the meeting with the health plans to discuss this bill throughout the past year. In many respects, we share the same goals of identifying options for how to best serve Minnesotans. We continue to have several concerns and questions about House File 11. This bill has interactions with the small group market, the individual market, and state public programs. It is important that actuarial modeling is completed on this bill to understand the potential unintended consequences to consumers of the individual and small group markets. Because Minnesota Care is not comparative insurance a comparative insurance product to those on the commercial side. For example, Minnesota is a guaranteed renewability state. Health plans would be required to continue to offer our existing commercial product offerings in the small and individual group markets. If there is a significant shift of members from these products to a public option, the risk pool becomes much smaller for these products for people not participating in the public option. This could result in significant premium spikes for people who remain in those products. There would also be an impact to providers as well. Providers will no longer be paid at commercial rates for these members. This could result in unintended consequences that we would want to better understand. Currently, the Department of Human Services oversees the procurement process for Medicaid and Minnesota Care. We would want to clarify if there are any changes that would be needed to the DHS procurement process as a part of this proposal. And then finally, one of the other issues looming is what congressional action may be taken in this policy area. The Build Back Better Act, currently before Congress, continues the higher level of advanced premium tax credits and expands a federal reinsurance program for 3 years. Now, it's unclear if these proposals will pass Congress, but we would want to make sure that we understand the interactions to ensure that we understand how our members would be impacted by that financially. Once again, we appreciate the discussions we've had with Representative Schultz, and I really thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Euland. Next up is Matt Dean.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's good to be with you all again and see the friendly faces out there. I represent the Heartland Institute and want to thank Representative Schultz and the proponents of the bill for extending access to more Minnesotans for care. I just want to bring up three concerns with the bill. Number one, the way the bill is paid for through premiums within Minnesota Care. I think we all know that over 90% of the costs of Minnesota Care are not premium based. The 95% by a last check. So we also have to look at how are we doing at billing and collecting. And I think if we could agree on one thing, we have not been particularly good at sending out bills for Minnesota Care or collecting the money for that. Just in 2018, we left $30 million on the table for money that was billed out that we were able to bill out that we could not receive because it was too hard. So the billing for Minnesota Care and collecting for it is a big issue for how we're going to pay for this. The second thing we're going to look at is who this bill covers. The citizenship portion of the bill, I think, is worth looking at. If you look at who, how that portion of the bill is changed, it looks to covering people who are not legal citizens of the state of Minnesota, which Minnesota Care has not previously done. Also, would make ineligible folks for other public plans eligible. So I think that that is certainly something that you want to look at. Minnesota Care was always designed for people as a last resort for health care. And third, fairness. If you look at the cost that Mr. Euland was just talking about, if you want to make things harder for people who pay premiums, that would certainly be exacerbated by this, as was the Medicaid expansion in killing the individual market in many, many counties throughout the state of Minnesota. So when you look at fairness and when you look at coverage and you look at intent, I think of who the Minnesota Care population was intended to cover, the bill has several very, very difficult challenges to overcome in meeting the coverage point of 4%, which, as Representative Schultz brought up, is the current goal. There's certainly better ways to cover those folks within certain without damaging the individual market as we've done in the past. So with that, those concerns, I will wrap that up. And also, Representative, our Chair Liebling, apologize for voting on approval of the minutes, which I did by accident.
Well, thank you, former Representative Dean. I'm glad you approve of our minutes. That's good to hear. We can agree on something. All right, Bentley Graves, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Bentley Graves. I'm with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. We represent more than 6,000 employers and more than 500,000 employees across the state and on the street, all corners of the state, all sizes of business. And I actually want to thank Representative Schultz for taking some time to walk through the bill with me at the end of last week. And in particular, I want to thank her for the focus in the bill on small employers and the challenges you've heard today of small employers accessing coverage for their for themselves and their employees. This, as you know, is a extremely expensive but also extremely important benefit, especially in this tight labor market. So I again appreciate very much the focus on small employers in the bill and the tax credit program that the bill envisions. You know, this would certainly be very, very helpful to many small employers who are struggling to maintain that coverage for their employees. And I appreciate too, we appreciate too the fact that tax credit would extend not just to group coverage, but to coverage provided, as was mentioned earlier, through CUSERA plans or ICRA plans, these kind of defined contribution plans that employers can now use to help their employees buy their own insurance on the individual market. We do, however, have concerns about kind of where this bill would envision kind of landing the plane on guaranteeing better access to more affordable coverage through the buy-in approach. And that's largely because this type of option attempts to create an affordable cover option by using the infrastructure of public programs payment rates, which are far, far lower than commercial rates. And this then raises concerns about ongoing challenges that we already see today with access to providers and services, particularly out there in greater Minnesota, but also concerns about what it would do to increase costs for those who are left with commercial coverage in the private market. So, you know, as you've heard today, there are obviously a lot of interest in solving this problem. And again, we appreciate this idea brought forward by Representative Scholz. We nevertheless have concerns about where this would land, but are committed to continue this conversation with all of you and look forward to that work ahead. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to testify today.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Graves. Okay, that concludes our scheduled testifiers on the bill. So we are going to turn then to the amendments that have been pre-filed. And the first one would be the A-19 amendment, and I understand that's Representative Keel. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate this amendment. Introducing this amendment would delete the changes in the bill to allow illegal immigrants to access Minnesota care. Allowing illegal immigrants to access Minnesota care would put at risk basically all of the funding of Minnesota care. Because Minnesota care is a basic health program, the federal government pays about 90% of its costs, but federal law prohibits that funding going toward health care for illegal immigrants. In addition to putting it at risk, our ability to offer Minnesota care for at all, expanding access to illegal immigrants would make Minnesota a destination for those in nation illegally. Nowhere in the country are illegal immigrants able to receive insurance through Medicare, Medicaid, or healthcare exchanges. By giving illegal immigrants access to a plan for those with low income and a plan for the general population, Minnesota would become unbelievably attractive. We should not use both state and federal money to subsidize the lives of those in America illegally. And we should especially not do so when it would put the entire program's existence at risk. And I would ask members to vote yes on the amendment, and I request a roll call. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Representative Keel. Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Let's see. I'll go first to Representative Scholz, and then we'll go to Grunhagen and Hewitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would encourage members to vote no on this amendment, A-19. Humans cannot be illegal, so we have to stop calling undocumented non-citizens illegal immigrants. So I think a different term needs to be used by all of us. They're unauthorized. It's a matter of not having their correct documentation. But they're humans, and they all deserve to have access to really good health care. And when they don't have insurance, when they can't access affordable insurance, they're putting other people at risk. And people learned that during the pandemic. We also have a very declining workforce in Minnesota, and it's particularly declining in greater Minnesota. So many of our unauthorized non-citizens are working and contributing taxes in Minnesota, and they deserve to have affordable health care coverage. And we need more people in the state to fill the jobs. We currently have 17,000 job vacancies in our health care support occupations. We are desperate in health care and in other industries to have workers in our state and attract people to Minnesota. So for all those reasons, members, I urge you to vote no on this amendment.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that we actually, Representative Keel actually moved the A-19, right? I'm assuming that you did, right? So it is before us, correct?
Madam Chair, I move the A-19 amendment.
Yes.
To make
thank
sure
you.
We have the record.
I just wasn't sure if I did that formally. Okay, thank you, Representative Keel. Representative Grunhagen to the A-19.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah. we all want people to have access to healthcare, okay? But because I would support Representative Keel's amendment and ask members to vote yes, you know, in addition to the Chamber of Commerce's testimony and concerns, NFIB sent you a letter in the mail also. And basically they say public healthcare programs like Minnesota Care reimburse healthcare providers at about half. And because of that, they lose money on the reimbursement. We can fix that with a bill I have, but that's for another day. It's interesting, the Star Tribune reinforced those concerns. About 2 years ago, they had a page article, Minnesota Rural Hospitals Are Hang On For Now. And in there, they talk about the low reimbursement from Medicare and Medicaid.
Representative Grunhagen, excuse me, we're on the A19 amendment, so you need to please confine your comments to the amendment that is before us.
Yeah, well, expanding it to illegals, you're only going to aggravate healthcare access and see more hospitals close. We already have seen, with the expansion of Obamacare, over 130 rural hospitals close across the
country. Again, Representative Grunhagen, please confine your remarks to the amendment that's before us.
Yeah, and what you're going to do by expanding this even further than to citizens, you're going to further damage healthcare access for all Minnesota citizens. So more government doesn't solve the problem. Again, I have a bill that would actually solve the problem, okay? But the chair doesn't want to hear it today, it sounds like. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Representative Hewitt.
Sorry, wrong button. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Keel, we work together on a lot of bills, and this is one that I'm going to encourage people to vote against for simply, and this is more of a personal experience. When I worked in emergency care, both in the in-hospital setting and also on the street, it doesn't matter what or where you come from, you're going to get treatment. Minnesota makes sure of that wherever you are or whoever you are, or wherever you come from, you get a ride in my ambulance if you're hurt. You also get treated in the emergency room. And because of that, it's not the state of Minnesota that pays the people that don't pay their hospital bills. It's the employees of the institution, because that comes out. That comes out of raises, that comes out of benefits, it comes out of new equipment purchases and expansion into these hospitals. And, you know, I really think we have to look at this. I would hate to change our laws on, you know, well, if you're not a citizen, we can't treat you, because that's not our values. That's not the value of Minnesotans. It's not the value of a healthcare worker. So we really need to figure out how we plan on treating people that are not documented, because they are part of our workforce. They are part of our state. So thank you, Representative Keel, but I will be voting no, and I encourage members to do the same.
All right. Thank you, Representative Hewitt. Seeing no other comments to the amendment, Representative Keel, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to reiterate that the opportunity, Representative Hewitt's right. We treat everyone. We treat everyone in the rural Minnesota area as well as in the metro area. However, we need to remember that this will not help our hospitals. In fact, this will implode them. They're on the edge already. We're talking about adding costs that we can't afford. And we don't even know, as I understand this bill, that the federal government may even cover this. So 90% of that cost all of a sudden goes away or is decreased, because we don't know how they would address it. So I want members to remember that, and would ask for a yes vote.
Representative Schultz.
Yeah, so just want to address that last comment. We would not lose federal money. This would be covered by state funds, because the federal government currently, you're right, doesn't fund providing coverage to undocumented immigrants or non-citizens. So it would be state funded, but we are not at risk of losing federal funds. And on the hospitals closing issue, hospitals currently would have to claim uncompensated care. And so I think they would prefer having some coverage rather than no coverage. to reimburse them.
Okay, let's go to a vote then. Ms. Niedernhofer, will take the roll, please.
Chair Liebling.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Reid Schumacher.
Schumacher, aye.
Representative Ackland.
Ackland, aye.
Representative Backer. Representative Backer.
Backer votes aye.
Representative Bonner.
Bonner votes no.
Representative Bierman.
Bierman, no.
Representative Bolden.
Bolden, no.
Representative Damath.
Damath, aye.
Representative Freiberg.
Freiberg, no.
Representative Grunhagen.
Grunhagen, aye.
Representative Keel.
Keel, aye.
Representative Morrison.
Morrison, no.
Representative Munson.
Aye. Aye.
Representative Pryor.
Pryor, no.
Representative Quam.
Aye.
Representative Ryer.
No.
Representative Schultz.
No.
Representative Wolgamott.
No.
There are 8 ayes and 11 nays.
There being 8 ayes and 11 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. We'll move now to the A20 amendment, which is Representative Backer, I understand. Representative Backer, would you like to move the A20?
Yes, Madam Chair, we'd like to move that amendment.
All right, the A20 is before us. To your amendment, Representative Backer.
What this amendment does is it ensures premiums for the Minnesota Care Buy-In Program would be set at a level at least high enough to cover the cost of the program. We just heard in the last debate that one of the challenges that we have is to make sure we have enough care through all the critical access hospitals. I serve as an EMT, and one of the challenges that we have, our service and our hospitals in our area is, for example, every year my wife and I hit up our fundraising program. We have to raise anywhere from $25,000 to $35,000 just to keep our service, the door open, because 75% to 80% of our calls are Medicaid, Medicare, or a county program, which generally speaks only pays at 50% of the dollar. One of the greatest concerns why I serve on this committee is to make sure we provide good health care. I think that's all why we're on here. But at the end of the day, if we provide health care that is not covering the cost, especially for our hospitals, when someone calls 911, I'm in the back of that rig. Where do I take them? A lot of our critical access hospitals are not flush with funds, and we need them to be successful. Not that they're making absurd amount of money, because most of the critical access hospitals in Minnesota, which I represent 6 of them, are running on thin margins. So what this amendment again does is it would make sure the premiums would be set to cover the cost of the program so we can keep good health care in Minnesota. That's my number one concern. It's why I serve on an ambulance for 27 years as a volunteer in my areas to provide good health care. Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
All right, discussion to the A20 amendment. All right, Representative Schultz. Oh, I see. Well, I see that Representative Grunhagen's hand is up. Let me go to him first. Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, just to reinforce Representative Backer's comments, I'll use a former presidential candidate on the Democratic side, John Delaney. He said in a debate a year or so ago about the need for proper reimbursements to the doctors and hospitals, and this is a direct quote, if you go to every hospital in this country and you ask them one question, which is, How would it have been for last year if every one of your bills were paid at the Medicare rate, and Minnesota Care pays lower than that? Every single hospital administrator said they would close their doors. Please support Representative Backer's amendment.
All right, Representative Schultz.
I encourage members to vote no. Just let me be very clear that in the Minnesota Care product that we have today, it is the private health plans that are negotiating reimbursement with private providers. So the goal would be to charge premiums that cover most of the cost, but some people may be eligible for subsidies because they are very low income. Currently, you know, with reinsurance, with employer-provided coverage, people are getting a tax break and subsidy. We are subsidizing health insurance coverage on the private market. But many individuals don't get that tax advantage when they buy it individually, not through an employer. So we are already making decisions, like we have in the past, on reinsurance, on subsidizing the premiums and giving that money to health plans. So I encourage people to vote no on this amendment.
All right. All those in favor of the A20 amendment, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed? No.
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 The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. The next amendment is the A21 amendment. That is Representative Damuth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, Chair Liebling, part of this bill requires DHS.
Sorry, Representative Damuth, excuse me for interrupting. Let's make sure we move it. So Representative Damuth is moving the A21 amendment to put it before the committee. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No problem, thank you, Madam Chair, and I do move the A21 before the committee. Members, part of this bill requires DHS to undertake a study which would look at making changes to the way the state runs Minnesota Care. The language of this bill would require DHS to look at a plan where the state would hold all of the insurance risk. I believe that the plan such as this is a dangerous idea, so this amendment would prevent studying that idea. We know that the rise of healthcare costs already puts at risk Minnesota's budget as our cost for medical assistance and the existing Minnesota Care rise. An insurance model where the state holds the risk endangers our budget even more. This would put the state general fund at risk when insurance costs would outpace what the state has in funding for the program. We all know that managed care works. Other states have followed in our footsteps and used the managed care model as a way to reduce and control healthcare costs. So why would we move in the opposite direction? So with that, Madam Chair, members, I would ask for a yes vote on this amendment, and I would request a roll call.
Okay, a roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call on the amendment. Is there any discussion to the amendment? All right, Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair Liebling. I encourage members to vote no on this amendment, the A21. Right, this bill does require DHS to study alternative payment and delivery models, and that is because we want to look at and evaluate many models to see what is going to lower the cost the most, reduce our cost growth trend, and increase high-quality, affordable coverage. So I don't think there's any harm at looking at different models to find out what is going to be the best model for Minnesota. So please vote no on this amendment.
All right, thank you, Representative Schultz. Okay, so the roll call having been requested, Ms. Niedernhofer, if you would please call the roll on the A21 Damuth Amendment.
Chair Liebling.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Lead Schumacher.
Schumacher, aye.
Ackland.
Ackland, aye.
Backer.
Backer, aye.
Bonner.
No.
Bierman.
No.
Bolden.
Bolden, no.
Damuth.
Damuth, aye.
Freiberg.
Freiberg, no.
Grunhagen.
Grunhagen, aye.
Heal.
Deal, aye.
Morrison. Morrison. Munson.
Aye.
Pryor.
No.
Quam.
Aye.
Ryer.
No.
Schultz.
No.
Wolgema.
No.
There are eight ayes and nine.
Oh, let's just see if Representative Morrison is still, is, let's call her again just because of our little misstep from previous.
Morrison.
Okay.
So eight ayes and nine nays.
All right, there being eight ayes and nine nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. The next amendment is the A22, another Backer amendment. Representative Backer, would you care to move the A22?
I would care to move the A22 amendment.
All right, the A22 is before us. Representative Backer, to your amendment.
Yeah, I would also ask for a roll call.
All right, a roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call on the amendment. Representative Backer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment would give hospitals, physicians, and providers the option to serve Minnesota Care buy-in enrollees. It prevents DHS from requiring providers to serve in the buy-in as a condition of participation in the MA or MinCare program. And here's why I'm concerned about this. A couple things again. I know I talked on the last amendment. I would respectfully disagree with the author of the bill. It's just for the simple reason is we need to make sure that our hospitals are able to run. I know for a fact that hospitals are having in greater Minnesota, the critical access hospitals having difficult time to provide care. Also, what this program does is it really doesn't define how your county-based programs are effective. County-based programs have been very effective. I represent Prime West. They do a great job. But in my opinion, we need to look at this further to see how Prime West and these type of more and more county-based programs are able to provide the care. Because these are the programs that are making it happen in various parts of Minnesota, much better than some of the other programs out there. And finally, the second final note is in regards with this concept of one size fits all. In my neck of the woods, we have ag related. We also have, my ambulance runs into the Sisseton-Wahpeton tribe members and other individuals, and does not mean that one part of the state is going to be able or needs the same type of care and service. That's one of the reasons why county-based programs have done well, because they understand the geographic location. Let's look at it. That's what a county is a political geo unit. And HMO may not be the best, or in this scenario, the buy-in program. At the end of the day, we want the hospitals and the providers to make the best care for everybody, not to shift the cost to a private insurer, because at the end of the day, that's not fair either. We want to provide good health care to everybody. I pick up anybody and everybody, doesn't matter what time when I'm on this service. I get that. But if we're going bankrupt our hospitals and providers or cause significant impact, that means my constituents aren't going to get the care that maybe a suburban or a metro person will get. So thank you very much, Madam Chair and members, for hearing that amendment.
All right. Thank you, Representative Backer. Is there any discussion then to the A22 amendment? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair Liebling. So I encourage members to vote no. We do not need this amendment. Currently, Minnesota Care has a very extensive provider network across the state, so it has coverage. And remember, providers, hospitals, physicians are negotiating with private health plans to get reimbursed. So they already can make their own decisions. So members, I encourage a no vote.
Okay. Representative Backer, did you have something else you wanted to say?
I'd like to add to that. You know, I would professionally disagree. Again, the challenge is why our service has to do a fundraiser, and I've talked to the administrators at our hospital, is they are running razor thin, and at the end of the day, they should have the flexibility to do what's important. At the end of the day, this bill will not provide the care that the author believes, not from a practical perspective. This amendment just makes this bill not as bad, in my opinion. So thank you again for allowing me to share that.
Okay, Ms. Niedernhofer, if you would take the roll on the A22 amendment.
Chair Liebling.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Leach Schumacher.
Schumacher, aye.
Representative Ackland.
Ackland, aye.
Representative Backer.
Backer, aye.
Representative Bonner.
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bolden.
Bolden, no.
Representative Damuth.
Damuth, aye.
Representative Freiberg.
Freiberg, no.
Representative Grunhagen.
Grunhagen, aye.
Representative Keel.
Keel, aye.
Representative Morrison. Representative Morrison. Representative Munson.
Munson, aye.
Representative Pryor.
No.
Representative Quam.
Aye.
Representative Ryer.
No.
Representative Ryer.
No.
Representative Schultz.
No.
Representative Wolgamott.
No.
Representative Morrison. There are 8 ayes and 10 nays.
All right, there being 8 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. And members, I want to just go back to the last roll call vote that we had, because I think we announced the total wrong, and I just wanted to correct that. And let's see, Ms. Niedernhofer, what was the number of that amendment? That was the, was that the A21, the Damuth Amendment?
Correct, A21.
Okay, so the correct count on the Damuth Amendment was 8 ayes and 10 nays. And I don't know if we maybe said 9 nays, but it doesn't change the outcome. It just, the count was 8 ayes and 10 nays.
Correct.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So let's see, the next amendment is the A23 amendment. Representative Schumacher, would you care to move the A23? Representative Schumacher, we can't hear you if you're on.
Yes, I'm moving the A23 amendment.
Okay, thank you. So Representative Schumacher is moving the A23. Representative Schumacher, to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this amendment deletes the changes in the bill to the Minnesota Care, but keeps all the sections which will provide real relief to healthcare costs. In addition, it will make the small business tax credit proposed in the bill permanent. Those changes actually have some merit. With rising healthcare costs, we hear from constituents about the impact on the rise it has on budgets. Offering relief from high premiums and cost sharing is a good idea. If the cost sharing and the premium subsidies prove effective, we can extend them beyond their sunset in this bill. An even better idea is proposed in the small business health credits. This would help employers afford the cost of offering their employees health care. It could even lead to more employers choosing to offer health care.
Making this proposal permanent would provide some stability and employers who are doing the right thing and provide insurance to their workers. I'd ask for a roll call, Madam Chair, and member support.
All right. Representative Schumacher requests a roll call. We will have a roll call on the amendment. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Grunhagen.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would rise in support of Representative Schumacher's amendment. No one's denying that our high cost of small group or group insurance and individual is a burden on people. I've sold health insurance since 1978, and I know firsthand people who have cried at the table with the higher premiums. You know, we were told we were going to save money, there's better access, we were going to insure everybody under Obamacare, and that all turned out to be a lie. But this would actually help small employers to reach their goal of offering group insurance in a way that would actually insure more people. So I urge members to vote yes on Representative Schumacher's amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Other discussion? Representative Backer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I would agree that this, as a small business owner, this amendment makes sense because small businesses are the economic engine of our state. We want risk takers. We want risk takers to help individuals to be successful, have successful employment. And this, what Representative Schumacher has brought you forward, makes sense. I appreciate this amendment and ask for your support as a small business owner, a voice for other small business owners also. Thank you.
All right. Other discussion to the amendment, to the A23 amendment? All right, seeing none, Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair Liebling. I encourage members to vote no, but I am glad that so many Republicans like parts of the bill, which is the part for small businesses, but I think we need to make sure we're helping more than just small businesses. We're helping people in Minnesota who cannot afford health care coverage today. So members, please vote no.
All right, thank you, Representative Schultz. Okay, Ms. Niedernhofer, I believe there was a roll call on this one as well, right? So, Ms. Niedernhofer, please take the roll.
Chair Liebling.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Lead Schumacher.
Schumacher, aye.
Representative Ackland.
Ackland, aye.
Representative Backer.
Backer, aye.
Representative Bonner.
Bonner, no.
Representative Bierman.
Bierman, no.
Representative Bolden.
Bolden, no.
Representative Damuth.
Damuth, aye.
Senator Freiberg.
Freiberg, no.
Representative Grunhagen.
Grunhagen, aye.
Representative Thiel.
Thiel, aye.
Representative Morrison. Representative Munson.
Aye.
Representative Pryor.
No.
Representative Quam.
Yes.
Representative Ryer.
No.
Representative Schultz.
No.
Representative Wolgamut.
No.
There are 8 ayes and 10 nays.
All right, there being 8 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. So the last amendment is the A18, which is Representative Grunhagen's amendment. Representative Grunhagen, did you want to move the amendment?
Yes.
All right, well, Representative Grunhagen is moving the A18 amendment, and I am ruling that amendment out of order. And let me just explain that, members. When we have it's a DE amendment, so it deletes everything in the bill and attempts to replace it with another bill. And that is not something you can do in committee, because basically when you do that, you're bringing another bill to committee to have a hearing on a different bill than the one that's been moved before the committee. So I'm going to rule that out of order. So,
Madam Chair.
Representative Gernhagen.
Would you give me the courtesy of a 1 minute comment?
Representative Gernhagen, I won't. And the reason is because then you're getting a hearing on a bill that is not before the committee. So that's why we're not going to discuss a bill, your bill, instead of Representative Schultz's bill. That's something that we don't do in committee.
My comment is not about the bill per se.
Okay, Representative Gernhagen.
I would just say to those people who testified about the need for health insurance, come and see me because I have a bill that would dramatically drop premium.
Okay, Representative Gernhagen, that's really out of order. So we have concluded the amendments. Discussion to the bill as to the bill. Representative Plum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a question of the chair procedurally. So there will be no vehicle bills whatsoever allowed in this committee, is what your ruling just seemed to indicate.
Representative Quam, when minority members and other and majority members for that matter don't have the ability to bring their own bills to the committee and get a hearing without the chair's consent to give that bill a hearing. When we have a vehicle bill, we post the amendment that's going to be adopted, and it's made clear to everyone that this is what's going to be happening. So I think that's a very different procedure. This is just a way to try to get around not being given a hearing for your bill. And that is, if we go down that road, there is no control on anything that's before the committee. And we need to make sure that we keep our discussions relevant, that people are able to know what's going to be discussed and what we're hearing, and not have members bring other bills under the guise of an amendment to get around not being given a hearing on that day on their bill. Representative Thacker. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Quam, go ahead.
I thank you very much for clarifying that, especially with people who might be listening in the audience. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Backer, to the bill.
In regards to the bill there, I think I've talked enough about the concerns that I have with how this will not increase access. I do not volunteer in the district. When I'm in the district, each month I'm still taking call 440, 450 hours a month volunteer time, because I want to provide good care. I am greatly concerned. First of all, hats off to the author. I know the author quite well, of course. We came in at the same class. Her intentions are well-meaning. At the end of the day, it doesn't do the trick that we do in regards with providing more health care. What's going to happen is that cost shift will be shifted over to a different, if it can be, we're going to lose more critical access hospitals. We're going to see costs increase. We're going to have challenges with county program. And there are programs out there, I think, that would be a better job. Again, when we increase costs and we lower the amount of care, at the end of the day, everybody loses. All the testifiers, I've been in the back of the rave of similar testifiers. I understand, because we want to provide the best care. Why get up at 2 a.m. when the pager goes off and so forth? But this bill does not do that. I do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Representative Gernhagen, and then Representative Schultz is going to have the final word, and then we're going to go to a vote. Representative Gernhagen, to the bill.
Yeah, I would just say this bill will not accomplish what the author wishes it to do. I think all of us on this committee want health care coverage for people in the state of Minnesota. What you have to understand, expanding more and more government health care rather than private sector reform is the wrong direction. It's going to reduce access. It's going to create excessive rationing, fewer hospitals, and even less doctors. We're going the wrong direction. I appreciate Representative Schultz's desire. I share it. And like was stated earlier, there's some parts of this bill that I would say I need to review and seem to be worth considering. But the overall expansion of a public option will not do what it claims to do. It will do just like Obamacare, the opposite. So think about that, especially those testifiers who want more health care. This is the wrong direction. We can solve this, but not with this bill. Thank you.
Representative Schultz, final word.
Thank you, Chair Liebling. While most Minnesotans support some sort of public option or expanded affordable health insurance access and coverage, right now, Minnesota families are overwhelmed by the healthcare costs. Their family budgets are overwhelmed. We need to try to solve this problem. It is not, and I hear the fairness argument often. Why should someone who makes only $25,000 get an affordable health insurance option like Minnesota Care, but someone who makes $26,000 does not? We have to eliminate these cliffs and smooth the cost of health insurance coverage for more families in Minnesota, and that's what this bill does. It is very simple. It expands a successful program that is publicly subsidized for very low-income families, but it is privately covered through private insurance and private healthcare providers. So, members, I urge you to support and vote yes for House File 11 as amended. And I renew my motion to refer House File 11 as amended to the Commerce Committee.
All right, so Representative Schultz renews her motion that House File 11, the second engrossment as amended, be re-referred to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. Ms. Niedernhofer, please take the roll.
Chair Liebling.
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Vice Chair Hewitt.
Aye.
Hewitt, aye. Lead Schumacher.
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Ackland.
Ackland, no.
Ackland, no. Representative Backer.
Backer, no.
Backer, no. Representative Bonner.
Bonner, aye.
Bonner, aye. Representative Bierman.
Bierman, aye.
Bierman, aye. Representative Bolden.
Bolden, aye.
Bolden, aye. Representative Damuth.
Damuth, no.
Damuth, no. Representative Freiberg.
Freiberg votes yes.
Freiberg, aye. Representative Grunhagen.
Grunhagen, no.
Grunhagen, no. Representative Heal.
Heal, no.
Heal, no. Representative Morrison. Representative Munson.
Munson, no.
Munson, no. Representative Pryor.
Pryor, aye.
Pryor, aye. Representative Kwan.
No.
Kwan, no. Representative Ryer.
Aye.
Ryer, aye. Representative Schultz.
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Wolgamott.
Aye.
Wolgamott, aye. There are 10 ayes and 8 nays.
All right, there being 10 ayes and 8 nays, the bill is passed and on its way to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. Thank you, Representative Schultz. The next bill on our agenda today is House File 2499, Representative Bolden. And Representative Bolden is going to move that House File 2499 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health, Finance, and Policy Omnibus Bill. So with that, Representative Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm grateful to present House File 2499 to you today. This bill would direct the Minnesota Department of Health to conduct a cost-benefit analysis comparing a universal healthcare system, the proposed Minnesota Health Plan, with our current healthcare financing system. This would be the first time Minnesota does a comprehensive look at the health and economic impacts of a switch from our current dysfunctional financing system, which denies care to many, and financially stresses or even bankrupts many families, businesses, and nonprofits, to a simple, efficient healthcare system, which covers everyone, without exception, for all their medical needs, funded by all of us, based on our ability to pay, so that everyone contributes, but nobody is bankrupted by costs. As a nurse, I have seen up close that despite the phenomenal work of those who provide care, our current healthcare system is broken. as we have already heard this today. Nearly 5% of Minnesotans have no health coverage at all, and upwards of a million Minnesotans who have insurance still cannot afford the care they need. A 2020 study found that 45% of Minnesotans said that they did not get the care they needed because of cost. We continue to have significant racial disparities in our health outcomes. Healthcare expenses are the cause of more bankruptcies than all other causes combined. This is wrong. Healthcare is a fundamental human right, and everyone deserves access to the care they need. I believe that the Minnesota Health Plan will significantly improve the health of Minnesotans in countless ways. It will reduce stress, make access to healthcare much easier, allow patients to choose their medical providers, reduce the burnout of care providers, and save money for Minnesotans in the process. However, members who aren't sure about that, and even those who strongly disagree, should still want to support this bill to allow for the financial analysis to be conducted so we can continue the work to be sure that every Minnesotan gets the care they need, regardless of race, place, or income, no exceptions. And with that, Madam Chair, I will turn it over to my testifiers, and I look forward to questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Representative Bolden. So the first testifier on my list is Rose Roach. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair Liebling, Representative Bolden, and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important bill. My name is Rose Roach, and I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Nurses Association. The Minnesota healthcare system is among the most expensive in the U.S., and the U.S. healthcare system itself is by far the most expensive in the world. Yet our health outcomes are disappointing when compared to many industrialized nations that spend far less. Our costs are headed through the roof if we continue on our current path. We badly need a clear, thorough debate about how we got into this mess and how to get out of it. Is it possible to extend coverage to all Minnesotans without raising the overall cost of our already expensive system? I believe it is if we enact the Minnesota Health Plan. People in this room may disagree with me. That's fine, but let's have the debate, because we're not having that debate. The legislature and the numerous legislative commissions appointed since 1989 never look back and ask whether implemented cost containment policies are working. We've discussed lowering the price of a few drugs, how much more money to throw at health insurance companies, whether this or that hospital should be closed, or and then we declare how innovative we are in Minnesota. We carefully avoid asking what will become of us if we continue down the current path. The study commissioned by this bill would create an excellent starting point for the debate we must have. The study would give us a detailed and holistic view of our system and the trade-offs we've made, so we can finally ask and answer the question, has anything actually worked? The worst trade-off we have made is to make our system more complex so that our spending, so that we spend larger portions of our healthcare dollar on administrative costs rather than on patients. Minnesota and the people of Minnesota already spend more than enough to guarantee access to comprehensive healthcare. The problem is we spend in the wrong places, administration and wild disparities in pricing. On behalf of the 23,000 nurses of the Minnesota Nurses Association, I urge you to pass the bill so we can set the course for true healthcare innovation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Roach. Next testifier is Kevin Brown. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Liebling, members of the committee. I'm Kevin Brown, owner of SmartSet, a 35-year-old print shop in Northeast Minneapolis with 5 employees. We're a certified B Corporation, a union shop, and a member of Main Street Alliance. Providing healthcare benefits is vital to attracting and retaining employees. We pay over $35,000 a year for health insurance. That works out to $5 for every employee hour worked. Think about that. Then there's a deductible of $4,600 per person, or more than $2 an hour. Paying $7 on every hour worked for health insurance is unsustainable and is bad for business. Small businesses account for half the jobs in the state of Minnesota, but we pay 18% more for healthcare compared to large businesses. Why are we asking small businesses to pay more than their fair share? A level playing field would be good for business in our state. A 2018 poll by the Small Business Roundtable found 31% of respondents marked healthcare as their number one concern. We presently spend 30% of every dollar on admin costs in an industry that is 20% of the entire U.S. economy. This is unsustainable and is not good for business. The Minnesota Health Plan would be the biggest boon to small business development in the history of our state. It would allow spouses holding down corporate jobs just for health benefits to join the family business. Employers could pay employees more, money that would immediately flow into the local economy. Leveling the playing field would free up capital that small business owners would invest back into their businesses, spurring local growth. It would create a flood of new startups. The RAND Corporation found a dramatic increase in business ownership rates during the month when a worker turns 65 and qualifies for Medicare. The pro-business, pro-employee solution is universal healthcare. It's time to build our local economy and support small businesses and their employees by leveling the playing field, removing the burden of employer-based healthcare, and controlling costs while providing healthcare for all. And for anyone that says this will all be too expensive, you must support this legislation to study the costs of the Minnesota Health Plan so we all know the facts. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that testimony, Mr. Brown. Next person on my list is Steve Romanesco. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Liebling, Representative Bolden, and members of the committee. Thank you for inviting me to speak in support of this bill. My name is Steve Romanesco, and I was asked to speak to you all today due to my extensive experience and difficulty with the current healthcare system. At 32, on top of my career in higher education, I've been a professional sick person for over two decades now since being diagnosed with primary sclerosis and cholangitis, a progressive liver disease that's brought with it two liver transplants, and ulcerative colitis, an irritable bowel disease that caused my colon to need to be removed. In talking about my difficulties with the current healthcare system and how it makes my life even harder than it already is, I'm not ever sure where to start, other than in all my hundreds of doctor's visits and months of total nights in the hospital, the biggest lessons I've learned is that for my own survival, I need to treat the healthcare system as something I go into fighting. For a time when my first liver transplant was failing, I was told by my insurance company that a second liver transplant wouldn't be covered because it was simply against policy and too costly. My family and I had to draft a letter of appeal that included testimonies to how I lived a life worth living, took care of myself as a patient, and how it would be cost-effective to treat me over just keeping the course until I prematurely died under current policies. I call myself a professional sick person because dealing with the healthcare system takes up the time of another job for me and for so many people like me. I hit my $3,500 out-of-pocket within a month every year, have four different MyCharts, see six different doctors from various clinics and locations, take nine different prescriptions currently, two of which need prior authorization, which take days of coordination and attention to make sure they get from doctor to insurance to doctor, and travel anywhere from 2 to 260 miles to clinics on a regular basis, all to ensure that I'm able to keep living, all on top of working a full-time job where I have to squeeze in all of these somewhere. The current health system isn't just broken, it's also designed in a way that works to break those who need it the most. This bill will provide a cost-benefit analysis when solve the problems, but it's a much-needed start to developing a healthcare system that can actually work for patients. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony, and thank you very much to the testifiers for staying, for doing their testimony very quickly. And so we have one amendment that is filed to this bill, and this is another DE amendment that basically wipes away the entire bill and substitutes it with some statements. And so that is Representative Grunhagen's bill, and I'm going to, again, rule that out of order because it's essentially getting a vote on another bill. But, of course, the statements that are in it, we're welcome to discuss, Representative Grunhagen. So I'm going to call on you and to begin the discussion on the bill. Representative Grunhagen.
Chair Liebling, thank you. I don't have a bill on this amendment. That's not a bill. This is simply an amendment. So it's not, doesn't fall into the same category as the other one you rule out of order, all right? You're simply ruling out of order a delete all bill that is a delete all amendment that is not a bill. That's what you're doing. And I think that's out of order, but I'll accept your ruling at this point. If Representative Bolden would yield for a question.
She will yield. We don't have to do the yielding. You could just ask your question. We're in committee. Representative Grunhagen, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Representative Bolden, I will simply repeat, we all want the best health care possible. We all agree there are difficulties, as you said, and also the testifiers, with the current health care system. It desperately needs reform. Okay. However, if we look at Vermont, which passed a single payer health care system, a number of years ago, and then was faced with skyrocketing taxes in order to try to subsidize it. So they repealed the single payer healthcare system. We can also look at California that considered the healthcare system, and they were, their estimate, which is going to be low, is over $400 billion in taxes and skyrocketing taxes to keep it subsidized. So my question is, you know, with the history of single health care estimates way below, up to 10 times lower than what they actually come in at, have you reviewed Vermont's and California's proposals and why they decided to repeal and not do them?
So Representative Grunhagen, I'm sure Representative Bolden will answer the question. I just do want to make it really clear that the bill before us is not the Minnesota Health Plan.
No,
the bill before us is just to get a study to start unpacking what some of the comparisons would be. So Representative Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Grunhagen, for your question. And if I could, I would also just take a brief moment while I have the floor to thank all of the testifiers who came and spoke before us today and for sharing your stories. That is, powerful testimony, and we appreciate you. And so, Representative Grunhagen, to your question, I appreciate that, we are all on the same page of wanting to be sure that everyone has access to quality, affordable care, and that there's agreement that our current system is not that and not working. And so, where we have differences is around, what to do next and what the cost benefit analysis of that is. And to that, I would say, this is the bill. This is, everyone should be able to support this because this is how we get there. This is the next step of this. This is how we can have that true and honest discussion of really what the financial impacts are. So I see this bill as the next step in order to get there. And so, would ask for everybody's support.
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Representative Bolden, thanks for that response. Again, I know you mean well, but I think the evidence is in on single payer, not only in our country, but also in other countries. And I could quote you horror stories. One estimate in front of me that was just done February 9th, 2022, estimates it's going to cost Minnesota over $23.2 billion per year. So what I see happening is excessive rationing, which I had in my amendment, as a consequence, and the creation of a two-tier healthcare system, one for the rich and the elites, and a second-rate one for the majority of us. That's what you're promoting. And I know you don't want to do that, but you have to realize that the private sector has bailed out government low-reimbursement government programs for almost 40 years. And the baby boomers are retiring. We have to reform this system, but we can't do it with more government. We have to do it with the private sector, which I have bills to do, but unfortunately they can't be offered as an amendment. And this, by the way, my amendment is not a bill. It's simply a delete all amendment, which in my opinion, and I think the opinion of anybody who's familiar with the procedure in this committee knows should be offered based on history and precedent. Thank you.
All right, other discussion to the bill. Representative Bonner.
Sorry, I couldn't get to my mute button. I just wanted to say thank you to Representative Bolden for bringing this forward. I mean, we hear a lot of conversation about what will work, what won't work. We go around and round and round about this, but the reality is nobody really knows. And so I think having an effort where we actually do the homework and we actually find out for ourselves makes smart or good targeted sense. I can tell you I've been to Sweden, lived in Sweden. In fact, I almost moved there at one point. I have family in Canada who have a public system that they love. And I have to be candid. I've always been curious if it is something that would make sense for us, if it would work for us. But quite frankly, we don't really have any evidence to suggest either way. And I think Representative Bolden has done a great thing here in saying, let's at the very least start to have the question answered and start looking at this. And who knows, maybe we'll find more efficiencies in the current system. maybe we'll find a new way. But either way, it's good to have that conversation and have a healthy debate. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. So we're pretty much out of time here. Representative Gruenhagen, if you could be really brief, and then I want to let Representative Bolden have a brief final word, and then the bill's going to be laid over. Representative Gruenhagen?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be brief. Just to respond to those comments, and I understand them, it's we have proceeded down a path that has grown the bureaucracy over the doctor-patient relationship. And what I mean by that is if you look up your 2020 expenditures in the U.S., total healthcare spending has been $4.3 trillion. The problem is one of it, every $3 goes to bureaucracy. We've allowed the networks and pre-certification and a host of other things to complicate rather than allow the money to actually be used for the doctor-patient relationship. And going to single payer is not going to solve that. We know that. The evidence is in. We have to reform the private sector. Thank you.
All right. Representative Bolden, you get the final word, and then we will lay the bill over. Representative Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. Again, just as a reminder, this is a bill to look at that, to ask the question, to study, to look at the data, and to get a full and honest picture of what those, that cost-benefit analysis will be. Because clearly, the system we have is not working. And respectfully, Representative Gruenhagen, we already have a system that is not equal for people who have means and people who don't. That is happening right now. And so look forward to this moving forward so we can get the data and evidence and figure out what is the best thing and how we move forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you so much, Representative Bolden. And again, thank you to the testifiers. Really appreciate you coming and sharing your stories with us. Thank you, members. So House File 2499 is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And with that, I'm just going to let you know that tomorrow we have we may still be scheduled to hear from the Commissioner of Human Services to finish the budget presentation, although that may have to be moved. And then then we have House File 3242, which is Representative Liz Olson's bill, and we're going to hear House File 3162, Representative Freiberg's bill. So thank you for your attention today, members. We stand adjourned.